I'm Martha Biebinger at WBUR in Boston. Yesterday in Massachusetts, voters overwhelmingly approved a ballot question that would legalize marijuana here, making us the 18th state in the country that will now allow patients with a debilitating medical condition to seek a certificate for the use of marijuana to give them some relief. A second ballot question that would have allowed physicians to prescribe life-ending drugs, physician-assisted suicide, was called Death with Dignity here, was defeated 51% to 49%. About 6 months ago in the polls, that same question had overwhelming voter support in the high 60s, but in the intervening time, the Catholic Church and a number of well-financed groups launched a major ad campaign, both on TV and radio and in newspapers, to try to defeat that question, and they did, in the end, succeed.
This is Sarah Varney with Kaiser Health News in San Francisco, where the big news here is that there's Proposition 30, which is a state ballot measure that was going to raise the sales tax by a penny for the next few years and increase the income tax on some of the highest earners here in California, passed. This was a big concern for people in California here, because if it had not passed, there was going to be a question of whether or not the state could really move ahead with this promised Medicaid expansion. California obviously has been far ahead of the other states in the United States in terms of its enthusiasm over the health law. Now, the people that I've talked to today essentially said that all this uncertainty is gone. So the big news here is that with the state ballot measure passing, with Obama maintaining the presidency and the Senate in Democratic control, people here are saying it's really full steam ahead for the implementation of the expansion. I'm sorry, for the implementation of the exchange and for the Medicaid expansion. A lot of people who work on the exchange now are saying we've got 9 or 10 months to do this. We've got to erect this online portal. We've got to make a lot of very crucial decisions about which kinds of plans are going to be offered on the exchange. We've got to figure out how to communicate that to people. And that's a theme I heard a lot today from people who are working on the exchange and working on the Medicaid expansion. Is quite frankly, we now are going to be trying to convince people to get insurance. Many of these people have never had insurance. They've used to going to the emergency room or going to a community clinic or just not having healthcare in general. And so now how do we really communicate to an incredibly diverse audience why they should take up one of these plans, either go on to the exchange or sign up for the Medicaid expansion? So that's a real concern now. It's really on the ground, nuts and bolts. How are we going to get this up and running in the next 9 or 10 months?
I'm Elizabeth Stawicki with Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul. Before the election, Minnesota had been locked in a battle of political wills over carrying out the federal health care law here. Governor Mark Dayton, a Democrat and a staunch supporter of the president's health care overhaul on one side, and on the other side, a Republican-controlled legislature. Nowhere did that division play out more than in designing a state health insurance exchange. Republicans refused to pass legislation to set one up here in the past two legislative sessions, even though some Republican constituencies, such as the Chamber of Commerce and those that oppose legalized abortion, pleaded with Republicans to get involved. But that Republican roadblock is now gone. Not only did the state Senate flip Democrat, the state House of Representatives, surprisingly, is now Democrat-controlled as well. That means Minnesota is completely Democrat-controlled and led by a governor who solidly supports the president's health care law.
I'm Erica Barris with WESA, public radio station in Pittsburgh. We cover the entire southwestern Pennsylvania region of the state. With President Obama's win last night, it was a pretty big endorsement for health care reform, but it also, I think, is going to be... It's also going to provide a number of troubles and problems for the state. Number one, the state has gotten $33 million to set up its health exchange, and they haven't done a single thing with the money. I just spoke with the insurance office today, and they said they were pretty much waiting to see what would happen with the presidential election. Governor Corbett has said when the Supreme Court decision came down that he was very disappointed with the decision. And I think that they thought that maybe if they waited a little while, they would maybe not have to set the exchange up at all. They've sent out several releases, and they've published several letters that they've sent to the Department of Health and Human Services saying that there are too many unanswered questions right now. They don't know how much autonomy the state of Pennsylvania will have over the exchange. They're not sure how much it will cost. And they're not exactly sure it's really the best thing for the state. So I think from this point on, they're still looking, moving forward, and they're not exactly sure what's going to happen.
I'm Lynn Hatter with Florida Public Radio in Tallahassee. There were a lot of surprises last night in Florida. Voters faced long lines at the ballot box and a closer than expected presidential race here, which has still not quite been decided. But when it comes to healthcare related issues, Florida voters delivered their opinions very loudly and very clearly. There were two healthcare amendments before Florida voters this year. One was Amendment 1, which was called Healthcare Freedom. Now, this proposal was placed on the ballot by the Florida legislature, and it was essentially the state's response to the federal healthcare overhaul law. The proposal blocked the state from instituting what's widely known as a universal healthcare system here in Florida, but voters rejected that proposal. There was also Amendment 6, which would have blocked public funding for abortions. A lot of people considered Amendment 6 a moot point because state and federal law already do that. Planned Parenthood put about $2 million into a campaign to defeat that proposal. Both of them failed, both Amendments 1 and 6. Amendment 1 only got about 48% of Florida voters' support, and Amendment 6 only got about 45% of the vote, and both of them here in our state needed 60% of voters to approve them in order to be placed into the state's constitution.
I'm Alana Gordon with KCUR, the public radio station in Kansas City, Missouri, and with last night's election, there's a lot more certainty with the federal health law and where it stands. But here in Missouri, there's still a lot of ambiguity in how that's all going to be implemented. That's especially the case after voters overwhelmingly approved Proposition E here in Missouri. And basically what that message sends is that the governor or the state not have the power to implement any health exchange related activity or an exchange without the approval of the legislature or the people. And the sponsor of the measure has said this is about, you know, dealing with the abuse and power of the governor. Now, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon won the election, Democrat, but he said he has no plans to set up an exchange. You know, others interpret this type of measure as, you know, a statement on the health law itself and kind of opposing the federal health law and sending that message to the legislature. So that was kind of one of the main things that passed in Missouri. And, you know, looking at with the legislature coming back in January, it really looks like the state's on track for a federal exchange. The other component of that measure is that it allows taxpayers to sue state employees or anyone involved in the state with health exchange activity. So there's that element to it as well. The other measure that is health-related in Missouri, which failed, was a cigarette tax. There was an effort to raise Missouri's cigarette tax, lowest in the country. That failed by a very small margin.